Well, it's good to be here and to have a testimony to give. Yeah. And it's nice to have the privilege to give it in this house this evening. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read just a few verses. Verses 17 down to the verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 17, down to the end of the chapter. And Paul, led of the Spirit of God, penned these words, where he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," you see, if you're not saved tonight, you're not in Christ. The Bible says ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And it's only those who die in Christ can be assured of a home in heaven. And Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our loving Father, we thank thee for the very wonderful public reading of thine own precious truth. We thank thee, Lord, that it was a reality in the life of the writer. We pray tonight that men and women and young people might come to recognize this great truth, that God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I pray now, Lord, as I bring forth this word of testimony, that self might be hid behind the cross, and that Christ himself may have the preeminence in all things. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. It's a privilege to be along tonight, as I've said, to bring a word of testimony, and I just want to say, first and utmost, that I was not always a Christian. I was born into this world on the 17th of August in the year of 1959. So that means I'm getting very close to 50. I was born into this world, as the Bible describes me, as a sinner. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. For the first 16 years of my life, I lived it in and around the town of Portadown. My mother and father loved me and cared for me. My father's gone now to be with the Lord. My mother's still alive. And your mother is the pillar of your life in a human aspect. And I love her with all my heart. But there was a time in my life when I broke my mother's heart, as I was growing up in my early teens. My mother would have sent me along to the local Sunday school in the town We went to a little hall, and that's where the Sunday school was, connected with the Church of Ireland Church. And I used to go each Sunday morning. And, well, I just didn't listen, I suppose. The wee man who was my teacher was a lovely man, but he wasn't a saved man. And therefore he couldn't relate to me the way and the plan of salvation. As I grew up as a child in Portadown, we had been living in the country for some 4 years just beyond the town. And then we went into Portadown and I began to attend the primary school on the Corcoran side of the town. As I grew up there, well, we met lots of friends, and in them days the troubles just weren't started. And we used to run in and out of others' houses. Didn't matter if you were a Protestant or a Catholic or anything else. Everybody just seemed to get on with one another. In them days you'd have ran into your next door neighbor's house and you'd have got a cut of bread, as we would have known it then. You'd have cut the ticket or a whack of a plain loaf which wasn't sliced, and they'd have put a whack of butter on it. There was no flora or anything like that. And they just whacked a bit of butter on it and a whack of jam, and away you went. It done me the very best, you know. And it used to be great. But I mind away back then, the commencement of the troubles. And I mind when they began to get into the town, and there became a dividing line between our friends. And one stayed to one side of the fence and the other to the other. And it wasn't long before we were getting into conflict, getting involved in things that we ought not to be getting involved in at all. I mind my mother at that time, she would have been worried in case I was getting involved too far. And she decided when I was around, I suppose, the age of 12, that we would move house. And we moved out of town, out into the country. And we lived there for a year. My mother, of course, maybe felt that she was taking me out of problems in one place. But the devil will always have you find them in another. I began to smoke at a very early age. The first cigarette I lifted was at the age of 7. And I smoked from I was 7 years of age up until the night of my conversion. At the age of 12 to 13, I began to take my first drink and found myself stocious drunk on occasions. The sad thing is this, in all those years I was still a young man, getting involved deeper and deeper into sin, and yet did not know of my need of a Savior. We eventually moved down to where I now live, at the Birches, a country area just outside of Portadown. I befriended a young man of that district who became a very close friend of mine up until the day that he died. And at the age of 16, while running about with this young man called Billy, one night he called at my door one Sunday evening. I had never attended a gospel mission in my life. But this particular night he came to my door as usual. For each Sunday night we headed off into Portadown, and we always spent the time outside the chip shop with other friends. But this night was going to be different. Because this night he called and he said, "Everett, would you mind coming somewhere with me, and we'll go into town later?" I said, "Billy, where are we going?" He says, "My brother has asked me along to a gospel mission. in a little brethren hall on the outskirts of Portadown on the Moy Road. And I went with him on that occasion. I was 16 years of age. We went into the wee small hall, maybe about the third size of this building. And I got in again the back wall in the back corner. And for the first time in my life, I was sitting in a gospel hall. There was a wee man there that night who was doing the preaching. He's going to be with the Lord now. A well-known brother and preacher by the name of Stuart Ewing. That wee man, he wasn't two hands hiring a duck. But let me tell you this, when he opened his mouth to preach the gospel, he never missed the mark. And as I sat and listened that night, for the first time in my life, I came to a head knowledge of my need of salvation. That if I died in sin, that I would be lost in a Christless eternity in the lake of fire and hell forevermore. And can I say tonight, as I sat in that meeting and listened to this little man preach the message of the gospel with all his heart, I was deeply impressed. In fact, I was scared lest I would be lost. But I was only coming to a head knowledge of this truth for the first time. And I mind the end of the meeting came. The meeting was closed in prayer, and I said to Billy, let's get out. I wanted to get out before the preacher got to the door. But there were two ladies who were sitting between us and the door, and they thought they would have a conversation, and therefore we had to sit to the end. And as I went out past that wee man that night, I mind him looking me in the eye, and he shook me by the hand and he just said, "Son, God bless you." I left the meeting that night knowing for the first time of my need of a Savior and my need of salvation. And I wasn't 10 minutes down the road till all that I had heard in the gospel meeting was snatched away. There didn't seem to be any care anymore in my mind. And I didn't care if I ever set foot in another gospel meeting again. But I never forgot the faithful preaching of that wee man. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting him some years later after I eventually got converted. He didn't know me from Adam. But I mind he was preaching at a mission up beside us, and I came to him after the mission. I said, "Sir, you don't know who I am. But I sat under your preaching many years ago, 6 years ago. And I heard you preach the gospel, and I came to a knowledge of the truth of what it meant to be saved." And I was able to let him know that I had now come to Christ. You see, there's one soweth, another reapeth, but it's always the Lord that gives the increase. For the next number of years, I never set foot again in another gospel hall. In fact, I had no desire to do so. In the meantime, I got married. We had a son and we moved to a different part of the country. And in that part of the country, there was a young man who lived just across the road from me. He was a kind of a wild character in his day. But this boy had changed. I used to say he had got good living. And I knew he was different. But this boy once, one particular night, he knocked on my door. And if I knew he was there, I wouldn't have went. But a man just jumping up from the far side and running to the door and opening it, and there he was. He said, "Arvid, would you come to a mission with me tonight?" Now I want you to listen to this child of God. Would you come to a mission with me tonight? I tried to get out from going. I made every excuse that I could think of. But this boy wasn't taking no for an answer. And eventually I said, "Okay, I'll go." And to tell you the truth, I went to that mission that night just to please him, to get him off my back. I thought if I went tonight, he'd give me head a minute's pace. So I went and I got ready and I went to the mission. At that time, I was now 22 years of age. I was smoking up in 50 cigarettes a day. I had just been smoking as I went up Armagh Hill to go into the mission in the Elam Church in Armagh, the old Elam Church. There was a man preaching there whose name was Pastor Harvey Shaw. And I went in and I sat down and they were singing. And I must say I felt like a fish out of water. I wasn't used to this. There'd have been other songs I might have been used to. But it certainly wasn't this. But a man sitting there for a love singing. My wife tells me I don't sing a roar. I'm a bit like the cow in the back field. But I love singing nonetheless, whether I sing or roar. It's good to sing unto the Lord. And I sat there and I listened because I didn't know the words of the hymns or anything about them. And I mean just sitting back and listening. And to tell you the truth, it was just brilliant. I loved it. So it's good to sing heartily when you come into the house of the Lord, for you don't know how it's affecting others around you. And I mean sitting there and the big man came into the pulpit. He was a giant of a man. Silver hair, he hasn't changed. He's still the same today as he was then. But boys are boys, when he began to preach, he would have made the hair stand in the back of your neck. But in the midst of his message, you know, he came across a portion of God's word which he quoted audibly in the meeting. And as I was sitting listening, he out of the blue quoted this verse of scripture from Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 15. And it said these words, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And can I say just at that point, the Holy Spirit himself took that verse and applied it to my heart with great power. And I came what I know now, I didn't know then. I came under what I know now as the conviction of sin. Everything that I had heard 6 years prior to that began to come into my mind. And I came to a point in my life once again where I realized if I was to die in my sin, I would end up in a Christless eternity for all eternity. And dear friend, I did not want to die. Neither did I want to go to a lost eternity. And I would say tonight, if I was to stop you at the door as you leave the meeting tonight and ask you, where would you like to be when you die? There's not one of you who wouldn't say, "I want to be in heaven." Well, dear friend, if you want to be in heaven, you must come the way of the cross. You must come to Jesus Christ. And I mind sitting in the room, and it was just as if it was the Lord and myself. Under the conviction of sin, with the fear of God that I might be cast one day into the lake of fire forevermore. And I never heard another word that the preacher said. As I sat in the meeting that night, listen, it wasn't a heart knowledge or a head knowledge of the truth that I was now coming to. but the Lord was challenging my heart. He had opened up my heart to an understanding of the reality of salvation. And I was being brought to a point where I had to make a decision, where I had to decide for eternity, where I had to decide where I was going to be in eternity. And the mind, the meeting came to a close. The pastor, he asked if anyone would like to be saved. Would you like to indicate it by the raising of your hand? And there was a battle going on in my heart in that seat. But I was so fearful of putting my hand up. You see, I was afraid what other people thought. I thought I was too big to do that. And I couldn't get my hand up publicly in the meeting. But a mind turning round as he closed in prayer, and the boy that brought me to the meeting was sitting with tears in his eyes. And a mind saying to Ian, it's time to get right with God. And I mind him bringing me into a wee room. And he introduced me to the pastor that evening. And I spoke to the man about the desires of my heart, the need of being saved by the grace of God. And I mind him sitting down with the Word of God, you know, and he began to take God's truth and explain to me the way of salvation. Because I thought, dear friend, that I was a sinner and I was going to hell because of what I did and because of the lifestyle that I led. And what he did was this: he took me back to the root of the problem and showed me the reason why I did live the life that I lived. Because of the sin nature that I was born into this world with. And he gave me a very quick explanation of the way of salvation and why I needed to be saved. And I want to share it with you tonight. It's called the Roman Road. He brought me to Romans chapter 3 in verse 10 and 23. And he said, listen, young man. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He explained to me how all have sinned. Not just me, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He not only explained to me about all having sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he went on to explain to me why and how all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he brought me back to the Garden of Eden experience, where Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Adam, knowing that God had commanded him not to eat of the forbidden fruit, eventually took it and ate it and disobeyed the command of God. And there in the garden, sin entered into his heart and into his life. And that communion and fellowship with which Adam had with God in the garden, away back at the beginning of time, was now severed because of sin. And then he explained to me how that affected the human race. He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, I was going to hell not because of the sin I committed, but because of the sin what was committed in the Garden of Eden. And through that one man's act of disobedience, listen, sin passed upon the whole human race. That includes me, and that includes you. Dear friend, tonight you're a sinner, and you need God's salvation. And if you die in your sin, The book of Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's where I was, you know. I had come to that point where I had recognized that I was a sinner and that the wages of sin was death and eternal fire and hell. But then he turned me to another lovely verse and he explained to me of God's love. And he said, but God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he introduced me to the Savior. He introduced me to the substitute. He introduced me to the place of sacrifice. And he introduced me to Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be reconciled to God. And for the first time in my life, I seen it in all its fullness. I am a sinner on my road to a lost eternity. Without God and without hope. But Jesus Christ loves me and gave himself for me at the place called Calvary. He became my substitute. He took my place and he died for me. It dawned on my soul. I was brought to that point where I came to realize that I needed to repent of my sin, to turn away from it unto the Lord, and to receive him into my heart as my own and personal Savior. You see, the preacher dealt with me well that night. But listen, that's as far as he could take me. He presented to me the gospel. He encouraged me what I should do. But he cannot make you do it. The mind him asking me the question, he says, young man, would you like to become a Christian tonight? Would you like to be saved? And am I looking him in the eye with a tear running down my cheek? And I said, sir, I'm ready to come just as I am. And am I him turning up a final verse? And he read this to me. He says, Everett, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what background you've come from. The promise is for you. And the mind on the 21st of February 1982, kneeling beside an old bench, and I received Jesus Christ into my life as my own and personal Savior. And the promise is this, to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. You see, that night I was made a new creature in Christ Jesus, born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And dear friend, if I was to die tonight, listen, I am sure, according to the word of promise, that it would be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. I never know what it is to spend eternity in hell because of what Christ has done for me at that place called Calvary. And I want to say this tonight. What Christ has done for me, he's done it for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And maybe in this meeting tonight there are those, and you have been considering your eternal destiny. You've maybe been brought to a head knowledge of the truth, but tonight God's speaking to your heart. You've been brought to a point where you know you must make a decision. You see, what you do with Christ tonight will determine what Christ will do with you in eternity. If you receive him, he'll receive you. If you reject him, he'll reject you. It's your decision, you know. It's heaven or hell. You make your choice. My life has never been the same. I really love the Lord. And I love the Lord because he has first loved me. And I want to tell you something tonight. The only regret that I have about salvation is this, is I never done it years before. Within the 6 years from I heard it at 16, listen, I could have been in God's lake of fire. God's gracious. He's been long suffering. Thank God he spoke to my heart again. You know, I had to go home and tell my wife. And at the beginning, well, I found it hard to tell my wife. And I walked around the kitchen. And then I walked around the living room. And then I walked up the stairs and went around the bedroom. And then I came back down the stairs again and walked around the kitchen. She says, there's something wrong with you. Well, I says, Yvonne, I have something to tell you tonight. I've got saved. And to mind the first word she said to me, she says, Arvid, you needn't be telling anybody, for you'll be away smoking like a trooper tomorrow. It's not a good testimony. You know, I couldn't have quit fags. I tried so hard. Such a grip on my life, but I never had to stop them. Because God took the desire away that very night I got converted. Just like that. And I mind my wife, she watched me for a number of months. And then she started to, I was a milkman at that time. And when you're working on the milk, well, you get up even early. And I found myself coming home and my wife was asking questions. And she thought nothing of sitting to 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I had to get up at 4. But she was becoming interested. And then eventually, on the 29th of this month, 1983, she came to an anniversary service with us out to Bethany. And Mr. McRae was preaching that night on the tears in the bottle. There that night, my wife and I knelt at the foot of the cross. And she came as a sinner to Jesus. That was a precious night. You know, life hasn't been easy as a Christian. We have 2 sons. One boy is 29. The other boy is 25. Then we had another wee boy. And well, if he would have lived, he would have been 18. And that was a difficult period. Yeah. That wee boy and was born the 2nd of July, 1991. Born in Craigavon. And then he had to be moved to the Royal. And after the first week, he took a hemorrhage. We thought, things aren't too good. But he lasted another week. And at the end of the second week, he took a massive one. And I mean, the doctor pulling us aside, and he basically said, "Everett, we can do nothing more for your son." And there in the Royal, we sat beside the incubator. They took our little boy out and they sat him on our lap. And with a little over an hour, the wee boy passed into God's eternity. Wasn't an easy time. In fact, it was very difficult. You know, the Lord says, "I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you." And there in the midst of the affliction and the heartache, the Lord's presence drew mightily near. You see, he is a real friend, one that sticketh closer than any brother. And I have never sensed such a closeness of God's presence in the midst of a difficult situation like it. Some people say to me, "Everett, how did you cope? How did your wife cope?" Well, God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee in time of need." Dear friends, the Lord's good. And if you're not saved tonight and you don't know him, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved now. For now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I thank God tonight for his love and his mercy. And I thank God tonight for his hope of glory that he has instilled in my heart. If you're not saved, may God speak to your soul tonight. May you realize that Christ loves you. And he went the whole way to Calvary and he died in your room instead. He became your substitute. He became your ransom. Come to him tonight and trust him. And be saved this very hour. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the listening ear of these people tonight. I pray that you'll speak to hearts. You'll bring conviction of sin. Show people their need of a Savior. Give them that deciding grace just now to reach out and to touch the Lord as he passes them by. Grant it tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen.